Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 341 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 3, Trial by Fire.
It aired February 26th, 2000, written by Judd Lynn and directed by Ryuta Tasaki. That's three in a row with this pair.
Oh, is that it?
So,
they switch out next time?
They switch directors next time.
Okay.
But it's another, like, pretty good name. So
nice. So if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it. I think we should have vamped a little more, but I think we got all of our good vamping out in the first episode of this season. Yeah, we pause it and we come back and we talk about it. Did I say that? It's what we do. You should know by now, unless you're new, in which case.
What we do is we pause the episode, we go watch it,
and then we go watch it, and then we record and we do more of this podcast later. that sense.
Also, we're new here.
Yeah, I guess. Can I tell you guys a secret? This is the third of 3 days off for me. I had a 3 day weekend, and I'm on island time. So I'm hoping I can get through this. I also forgot to like buy some groceries, so like I don't have any beer or anything to drink that isn't water. So like,
yikes!
I don't know how I'm gonna survive. I go back to work tomorrow, so like,
you can make it.
I gotta stock up. I guess. Anyway, let's go watch the episode. What do you say?
All right.
It's Morphin time!
And we're back, and we just watched Trial by Lightspeed.
It was and what a trial it was.
There was a trial.
There was Lightspeed.
Got a Z crystal though. So.
Oh yeah, which one?
Fire type,
obviously.
Firium Z.
Firium. Firium.
Firium.
Fear.
I always said Firium because it's F-I-R-I-U-M.
But it's fire.
It's fire. Firium.
Firium.
Firium Z.
This has been maybe the worst segment we've ever done.
Pokemon is bad at naming things corner.
MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So is AJJosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.MorphinGrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Snapple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podknife, Podbay, Podbean, Podboy, Poddaddy. I don't know why Poddaddy is so funny to me.
It's like GoDaddy.
But only for pods.
Pod me, daddy. That was DVR last season.
Yeah. you can go to any of those places, except for the fake ones, to leave us a rating and review, and we'd really appreciate it. It helps people find the show. Since it's a new season, it's very important that people find this show. No one's searching for Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue.
That's true.
Unless you are, in which case, you're in the right place. Welcome, friend.
Which, you know what? We're three episodes in now that we've seen.
Yeah.
Two that we've talked about. I'm digging this season so far.
Yeah.
This seems pretty rad.
I'm also enjoying it. I mean, there's plenty of time for it to get bad, but like...
Well, yeah, we're only three episodes
in. Yeah, but like, it's doing pretty good so far. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeandJosh for as little as $1 a month to get some neat stuff in return, including some Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes where we cover that wackadoodle show. And it is a thing.
That is a television program.
It's very good, actually, but also kind of bad still. So
yeah, there's a very good show in there, but it's got a lot of crap piled on top of
it. You gotta dig for it. Anyway, so patreon.com/HeyJakeandJosh, we'd really appreciate it. We have, I think, a new patron. I think we got right after we recorded the first episode.
I did notice that there was 101 today when I uploaded the sneak peek at the new album art.
Did you do that before I put it on Twitter?
Yes.
Okay. I just put it on Twitter when I had it.
I just put it up after I finished it. I was like, this is cutting it pretty close because the episode comes out today, but here you go.
Yeah, yesterday I was like, I'm going to edit it, and I started it last night, and then I was like, I can't finish it yet. Oops. So we do have one new patron, as I said. So Rudy is our newest patron.
Thank you, Rudy.
Hope you did good in a big football match from the movie. You've gotten that every day of your life.
I was going to say a Let Rudy Play joke, but I don't know. I've only seen the movie one time. It was a while ago.
I've seen it once or twice, but also, Rudy's heard that every day of his life.
That's probably very true.
So we're sorry that we couldn't think of a better joke than that. But you
Rudy
know,
is also my favorite Survivor contestant of all time. Oh, so there's that.
That's good. That's better.
He's the old man from the very first season.
Okay.
And I relate to him on his... I relate to him on a spiritual level, and they are currently in the season 36.
How many have you watched? Because you and Latasha have just been kind of binging a lot of stuff.
We watched 35 as it was happening, and we have gone through 14. 1 through 14.
Okay.
And then 35, and we are currently watching 36.
Is it Ghost Island one?
That's the one that's on right now.
I've heard about it from
sucks.
A podcast. It sucks?
It sucks. Like, it's Survivor. Okay, I don't want to get too off the rails, but we're
Everyone will turn the podcast off if we're talking about Survivor for too long, but you have 1 minute.
The gimmick of Ghost Island is you are exiled to Ghost Island by yourself, so you're out of all the social dynamics, but there is a chance that you could play a game to win an advantage.
Okay.
They've gone to Ghost Island like 6 times, and 4 of them have been, you can't play.
So
it's pointless. It sucks.
That seems pretty bad.
Yep.
Okay, I think that's your minute.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
Wanted to yell about that.
That's fair. That's all right. When else are we going to yell about this stuff?
That's true.
Also, it's a Monday episode, so we got some time to play around. We got an email, too. We got an email from Dowd, who says, I feel like the one from this season that doesn't actually matter is Kelsey, at least as far as my memory goes. If anyone wants to read more about that, then become a patron. Oh, he's dragging us. Hold on. Then become a patron and check out my article in the Yellow Zine. Blue article coming soon-ish. Hey, you know how long it's been since we put up a zine?
Look.
If you guess
2 years... I don't need this from you.
If you guess 2 years, you would be correct.
That's a long time. Has it really been...
2016?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, hey, everyone makes mistakes. So... so anyway, yeah, those were a thing that we played with and maybe we will get back to when we have time, which we don't. We started a lot of podcasts since then, so like, you know, we're busy. I think kind of the reason for putting the demon tomb in the desert was to put them super far away from their base/palace. Although I found it funny that one of you said throw it in the ocean, because at some point we'll find out the reason that Lightspeed Base is underwater is because demons have an aversion to water. Yeah, we found that out, I think, in the last episode 2?
I think so.
Yeah, that's how it started, right?
Why didn't they just throw it in the ocean?
They should have just threw it in the ocean.
Because then if they got out...
Oh, no, you're in the ocean.
They're in the ocean. They're in water, and they hate that.
You're dead now.
They're just a bunch of cats. Demons are just cats.
Pretty much.
Also, the opposite is probably true.
Well, the reverse. I don't know if it's the opposite.
Right, right.
Because cats are also demons.
Yes.
And they said, I remember liking this season, and the first episode makes me love it all over again. Thank you for the email, Dowd. Yeah, we're also, like we said, we're really enjoying this season so far.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for lowering our expectations, because I think that certainly helped me out a lot.
Was that the trick? Was that the plan the whole time? Is, hey, if we tell them it's boring and sucks, they will love it.
Yeah.
And it'll be just a nice breath of fresh air after Lost Galaxy.
Oh, woof. Anyway, that's all the stuff we got this week. Would you like to jump in to this episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
We start off in someone's bedroom. Is it like crew quarters? Because I know they don't live here, right? Or do they?
I think they
did
might.
They move in?
It seems like they live here now.
Okay. Maybe. That makes sense. But we're in someone's room and they're just like talking and joking about like what they wanted to be when they were kids, like how they wanted to, and like how they got to where they are. Dana asked Kelsey like something about, or I guess Kelsey just like started talking about it, and she's like, everyone asks like, are you crazy? And she's like, you have no idea. I just love hanging from cliff faces. And then Joel says a little thing about how he wanted to fly. So when he was 8, he made some wings and jumped out a window. And
second story window.
Yes. And Carter's like, well, that is foolish and also stupid, and puts his hat on him, and they all like joke and laugh. And then somebody asks Carter if he always wanted to be a firefighter, and he starts his story of how he wanted to become a firefighter. And what I like is that he's about to say a bummer. It's about to be a real bummer of a story. And he realizes that and pulls out.
Yeah, we get like a quick flashback of like a fireman in a fire. I'm assuming from Carter's eyes.
Yeah.
And as like the door shuts, he's taking his mask off, and we don't get to see who it is.
I know who it is.
I have a pretty good idea of who it is.
We'll talk about it a little bit later.
But yeah, the rest of them snap him out of, because he's just like spacing out, thinking about it.
Yeah.
And they're like, so you're going to tell us? And he's like, no, never mind.
He's like, never mind, it's nothing. And they're like, come on. He's like, no, don't worry about it. And then they get a, there's like a PA, like a call over the PA. It says, Rangers report to the training area. Did they say training area?
Something like that.
Something like that. So then they go do a training. We just cut from there to them at like this training area, which is above ground. It's like its own little course thing. Captain is there, and he has a stopwatch, and he hits the stopwatch, and they'll start running. I assume they're just going to do some laps to warm up. We got the theme song. When we come back from the theme song, there is some cool trap music going on. It is a club banger, it sounds like, and Joel and Chad are like jumping a wall.
Yeah, man, it's the Get Pumped mix.
Yeah, and they land and like run up to a thing, and they salute and say, done, and he's like, oh, minute 30, good job. And then we cut to a building that was on fire, that Carter's not in, because obviously he doesn't need more training in that. He was a firefighter, so he's right. Probably good. And Kelsey grabs a baby, and not a real baby. Yeah.
It's like a baby CPR, like training doll.
It's a crash test dummy baby.
It does have the crash test dummy like markings on it.
Yeah. And you're crash test dummies?
I did. The toys only worked once.
You could set them back up.
Yeah, but they never.
How hard in the paint did you go with a crash test dummy?
You could set them back up. They would never pop the same way twice.
So she jumps out the window, like not like jumps. She like rappels out the window, and then hands the baby off to Dana, who like puts on a thing and does like baby CPR to it, and like listens and is like good.
There's like a remote respirator on it, so like after she does the CPR, someone has to hit a button that makes it breathe a little,
and then she can hear that. I hope so, because or else like you wasted a couple seconds by doing that
just for theatrics.
Yeah, and so they did it in 2 minutes, which it seems like theirs was much more involved than jumping a wall or whatever else.
Yeah, 2 minutes is a good time to run into a burning building, scoop out a baby, and resuscitate it.
Yeah,
so
then we cut to Carter, who gets to play paintball. Doesn't seem fair.
No.
So he is shooting the cardboard alien cutouts from the Men in Black paintball scene. Or maybe, no, that's a live fire scene. Where he's training and he ends up shooting a little girl. He's like, she was in this back alley in the hood and she's got a quantum physics book. She's up to something. Men in Black rules, everybody, is what I'm trying to say. And so he shoots them all and jumps out, and Captain's like, 52 seconds, all right. And he's like, yeah. And Kelsey like jumps into his arms.
Yeah, and they like spin around.
Do a little spin around. And so
I think maybe
it's time for Kelster.
Car seat watch.
Car seat?
Car seat. That's it.
There it is. Car seat watch. Thank you.
I don't think we get anything else this episode, but at least we've got that little seed.
Yeah. So everyone, now we got at least two ships on the board, and Kelsey's in both of them. So who knows where this could go? Then Captain goes back in to check out his paintball job, and he's not happy.
No,
he's not happy with this, and he steps out.
He like leans on the railing on the little porch, and he's like, Carter, and just like beckons him over with like the first two fingers on his hand.
That's a power move. Like, yeah. The two, like, come here.
So Carter, like, jaunts over. He's, like, pumped because he got such a good time. He's like, yeah, man, what's up? And the chief, Captain Chief Mustache is like, you had the fastest time, but you got the lower score. You suck, Carter. You did bad.
You did so bad. I'm very disappointed with you. And he's like, but I hit all the targets. He's like, yeah, but you didn't use your head. You got to think before you ever pull out a blaster. Go pack your gear up. Get out of here.
Yeah, so here's the beginning of the most frustrating part of the episode, is that Captain won't explain what the problem is.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about that, is that I understand the, like, dramatic reason for it and the narrative reason for it.
Yeah, the storytelling reason is fine, I suppose.
It's solid.
The practical reason is, if you don't tell that Power Ranger, someone could die.
Yes, but also, what I, like, this, I'm kind of choosing to read it as Captain knows that Carter will come back and figure out himself and that the information will take better that way.
Yeah, it also kind of bothers me that Carter didn't go right in there and try to sleep.
Well, like, he was mad, you know, he like stormed off. But like, you're right that like he could have killed people on accident. Like, we'll find out what it was. And, like, people could have died.
You actively called them to a training session, but you are refusing to teach him the lesson right
now. Yeah. So that's kind of that's booty.
I do like the training session as a whole, though. Militarized Power Rangers are something I didn't realize I was really wanting.
I don't love the idea, but I like how it's done in this season.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of ways it can go very bad, but at least in this one, I very much enjoy it.
So far.
Anyway, yeah. So, we cut to the bad guy lair, Demon Town, and Benjamin Crumplesnatch is there, and he's talking to Diabolico, and I don't remember what he said at all, because I was trying to figure out how to spell Crumplesnatch in my notes.
I don't know. Is Viper also here?
No.
No, okay. I don't remember this scene at all.
We see her through, like, a portal. They're like, we gotta kill the Power Rangers. And she's like, I'll do it. And she says...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, guess what? Viper is super bad at acting.
She's off. There's one line later that is just like, not even a second take, huh?
No, yeah. That's every line of hers. Or, this is the best take?
That can't be... I refuse to believe that.
Because she's like... Say something about destroying the city because their palace is there and they need to get their palace
back.
Yeah,
she says you have to destroy it from the ground up.
Oh, close. She says from the ground up.
If you're going to destroy a city, you have to destroy it from the ground
up. It's pretty bad. Then we cut to the Rangers. They are driving. There's an earthquake from something she does. I don't think we see exactly what happens just yet, but there's like an earthquake happening. I think it's the first shot of the next time we see her.
Yeah, because the earthquake happens and the captain like runs to, I guess, the control room.
Yeah.
And we have like a seismometer there. But he looks at the like waveform and he's like, that's not an earthquake. Sound the alarms.
Send the Rangers in. So the Rangers jump in their car. They drive into action. Then we cut to a parking garage, an abandoned building.
A place for Power Rangers to fight bad guys.
Something.
A battle arena. A battle zone.
They go to the danger car battle zone.
The panic parking garage battle zone.
And I love WMAC Master so much. So then we cut there, and Vipera is telling a baddie to like hammer this. They call it a spike later. It looks like a spinny dagger. It's like a dagger, but the blade like rotates and it's pointed at the ground and they're like banging on it with a hammer. And apparently this is what's causing the earthquakes. How, we will never find out, but like it doesn't really matter. We know what's causing it. So, and also they have magic. So like a lot of stuff. What I really like is that the bad guys have literal magic this time. So like a lot of stuff can be explained away by, oh, it's just straight up demon magic, which is pretty good. It's also very weird that in this season, Power Rangers fight literal demons. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Kind of into that.
Yeah, the military hires Power Rangers to fight demons.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
That's pretty buckle. Remember when they were like, what about cars?
What if they go fast?
Hey, you know what we're doing this season? Shapes.
Everybody's just a piece of a Super Nintendo controller.
You're all going to be shapes. Who are we going to fight? Robots. No, all right. Shapes versus robots makes perfect sense to me. And then this time they're like,
What is the opposite of a shape if it's not a robot?
Well, I mean, if you look at all of Power Rangers, right? Like, you look at like what they are, and then you look at what their bad guys are, and there's always kind of a line there. Like, dinosaurs obviously fought fairy tale creatures, right?
Of course.
Obviously. And then like the second season is like ancient Chinese beasts fought things turned into people.
Of course.
And then the next one is ninjas fought ghosts, demons.
Yeah.
Yokai is a specific set of demons that I don't like. They're not like.
Right.
We're looking at literal Christian demons in this season.
Yeah. Yokai are more like Japanese folklore ghosts. Ghost demons.
Yeah. I think yokai is like better translated as ghost, but it's like, you know, demon, but a ghost.
But they're like very. Like this demon is a wall, and if you tap one specific
and you
brick,
poke him in the belly,
then he'll move.
He'll get out of your way. And like, but Power Ranger version of that. And then, you know, shapes versus robots, obviously. And then cars versus fish.
I don't know what the Sentai version was.
Cars versus bombs.
Yeah, because and the Piranatrons were like fish robots.
Fishes. What else was Turbo?
Well, there was the pizza,
the
monster,
jacket episode,
the fashion designer.
Okay, that
monster.
One. That one's just like stuff.
The baseball monster.
That one just is like stuff, huh?
It's cars versus cartoons.
Cars versus tunes. Okay, and then you have like space versus just a like animals, I guess, was in space, right?
Yeah.
And then last year was animals versus fish again.
fish and bugs.
Bugs and more fish than bugs, but some bugs.
There was a couple bugs,
but mostly fish. And then this season is cops versus demons. So that's the whole history of Power Rangers. I'm glad you're caught up.
Can't believe we just did that.
Maybe it'll make it in the episode. Who knows? Let's see how long the episode goes and what future Jake is feeling. Anyway, so they come in. There's a cool fight. Before they can do the fight, Viper has to prove that she shouldn't have been hired.
She bursts out of this door.
And she's like, yeah. Time to destroy Mariner's Bay. And then the Power Rangers come and they're like, no, we're not going to let you do that. She's like, Power Rangers?
She holds. She's like, Power Rangers.
Did she spring a leak?
I don't know if she holds the S. I think she holds the R part.
Rangers?
But in a way that I just am not capable of holding it.
Here's the problem with this. Other than like it's just poorly acted. The big problem is that like, this is the 8th year of Power Rangers. So many people have said Power Rangers in a menacing, threatening way before. And maybe she wanted to put her own stink on it. But her stink stinks.
Yeah.
It's bad.
That's the line that's just like, no second takes on how she can say Power Rangers in a menacing
like,
way.
Just watch some tape.
It's nothing.
It's so
like,
bad.
It's not menacing. It's not even like sexy villain, which she is kind of a sexy demon villain.
That's what they're going for, right? Because like she's the one with the human face and like she's a very pretty lady and,
right,
like,
and her whole stomach is out.
Yeah, and like they're trying to be like, you know, like Trakina or Astronomo or Divatox. Like we've had like sexy lady villains for a while. Like let's keep that going.
But then she opens her mouth and there's no character or personality coming out of it.
It's bad. The saving grace is that maybe she's doing her own stunts.
You can't tell for sure, but it is possible.
But, like, there's one shot where I was like, oh, was that her? And then, like, the next time it was, like, a stunt shot that you would have cut to, a stunt actor, like, her face was covered with her hair. And I'm like, they wouldn't have done that if that was her. So I don't know.
Every time after you asked, it's either, like, you can't see her face or it's a far shot.
Yeah.
So
like, I don't think so. If she is doing, if they hired her specifically because of like a stunt background, so like she can do her own fight scenes, not necessarily stunt, but like a fighting background, so she can do her own fights and it'll look better, then I understand why they didn't really worry about her acting. My problem is that then they tried to get her to do like some acting and it didn't work great. And hopefully she gets better, but I have seen her in Time Force and it doesn't. So
great. Okay.
So strap in for this.
Well, maybe she'll get better, like she'll get more comfortable in this season, and then there's just like a gap
there's
between
a big,
here
and
Time
it.
Force and she gets that ring rust.
Okay. Hopefully, because it bad so far. So her and Carter fight. They do some cool stuff. Dana does like some real great fights, a lot of like spinning kicks and shoots and stuff.
Yeah,
space
she's really
cowboy.
Good at crowd control.
Yeah.
Like, fighting more than one demi at a time.
I really like it. Baddies.
Was
we call them
baddies.
Baddies.
That's right. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Because they got the little bat wingies for,
right.
for their hair. But yeah, and then, like, space cowboy does, like, a cool flip and shoots some people. And he's like, I'm a cowboy. And holsters his gun.
I am genuinely shocked that after he does his little, like, Dana Brooke midair cartwheel, he does not yell yeehaw.
We gotta save it.
Because, man, they are...
You got to save
you it. You can hear it in his voice. He just wants to yell
it. It's there. And someday he's going to let it out, and it's going to be great. Or it'll have been too long, and he will be like, yeehaw.
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 Power Ranger.
Power Ranger.
Kelsey also gets to do some rope stunts.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I don't think Chad got to fight.
If he did, it was right before Dana, and it was a blink and you miss it moment.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, can you be cool to Chad? Can you give Chad something to do, please? That's all I'm asking for. By the end of the first episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, everyone got their stuff in, brother.
Yeah.
But in this time, nobody gets their stuff in. So, like, yeah, just please, like, give Chad something to do soon. I would like that.
I would like to see more from Chad. I've seen enough from everybody else, but I don't know anything about Chad except that he rides a killer whale.
His stunts are the wettest, but he only got to do them once.
It's a shame.
Get this boy back to Stunt Town.
We didn't even get to hear his story on how he started riding killer whales.
Yeah, how did you get to do... What was the wet stunt that inspired you?
If Joel is a sky cowboy... Uh-huh. Is Chad a wet cowboy?
Yes! Yes, he is!
Carter is a hot cowboy. Mm-hmm. And Kelsey is...
An extreme cowboy.
Extreme cowboy.
And then Dana is...
Army cowboy. No, she's not. I mean, she's kind of... This is kind of like a special branch of the Army.
Yeah, it's the Lightspeed Rescue. She's kind of like an army unto herself. Because, again, she's really good at, like...
Yeah.
Making sure 40 baddies don't get to do anything to her. It's pretty great. Anyway, so Carter fights Vipra, and she runs off. The fight's pretty good. I like the fight. She runs off, shoots some civilians with her Legend of Zelda full health Master Sword blast.
Sword beam.
And then...
Oh, she does at one point try to blast Carter with her sword beam. Is that coming up?
That's next, yeah.
Okay, okay.
And she goes to shoot him. It's like right after this, because he gets up, he puts himself in between them and her, which is good.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll get you, Red Ranger. And shoots it at
Red
him.
Ranger.
For too many R's. Get it together, Viper.
It's like her batteries are dying.
You ever how, like, you got a Furby, and it was cool for a while, and then after, like, a month and a half, you hadn't changed the batteries. It's like,
tell me a story! Oh, forget it if it was speaking in Furblish.
Oh, yeah. That hurt my throat. I don't know.
I had karate fighters, like the electronic ones that made noise.
Okay.
And they were in my closet for a while. The battery started to die. Just in the middle of the night one night, they were like,
oh, no.
And I was like, Mom!
Small soldiers are beating each other up in my bedroom.
Please check my closet. I'm under the covers.
There's a spookum. I can't get off my bed. So... She shoots him with another laser, like, blade beam, and he kicks it, and it, like, boomerangs away into a wall and, like, breaks the wall, and that doesn't help in a minute when this place is about to collapse. But then she sees some gas or something on the ground, I'm assuming, and shoots it, and there's, like, a wall of fire.
She sees the barrels that are under the rubble. I think that Carter might have just knocked... When he kicked the beam away.
Maybe, that makes sense, yeah.
But she sees the barrels and is like, yes, I know how I will get him.
I will do a fire to him. He is a firefighter. This shouldn't be as effective as it is, but it is. And so there's like a firewall, and she dips. She like teleports away or whatever. And then he's about to like, the building is also collapsing because again, he kicked a beam at a wall. And so he's about to like go help some people because like the building starts cracking above them. And I don't know why they're all in this abandoned parking garage. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And so he goes to, like, help them. And the captain's like, no, put the fire out first. And he's like, no, this building's going to collapse on them. And he's like, put out the fire. It's more important. And he's like, ugh, fine. So he puts, like, he pulls out the back of his blaster and pushes it in. That turns it into, like, CO2 spray mode. And he puts out the fire. And then the building collapses. And one kid, like, they jump out of the way. But, like, the kid doesn't get out of the way. And he gets hit with a rock from the ceiling, and his little toy breaks.
Yeah, there's like this close-up of his little toy, I think jet plane or something.
I think so.
Like falling and breaking on the ground. And like, that's a death scene.
That like, that's how you would show that this kid dead now.
Yeah.
But he's not. Like, his mom runs up to him and is like, oh, say something. And then like, Carter's kind of in shock. And Joel and Dana run up, and like Joel picks him up. He's like, "We got it. We'll take care of him."
Yeah, yeah.
And Carter just like kind of loses it a little bit. He's like, "Oh!" And like
it just runs off,
storms off. And then we go to commercial. And we come back, and he's like, just like head of steam towards Captain's office, and he like kicks the door open, and he's like, "You told me to put out the fire." The captain's like, "Yep, I did." And he's like, "How could you? Someone got, because of that, a kid got hurt." And he's like, "Carter, you did the right thing. You had to put the fire out." And he's like, "No." And then storms off.
This all could have been avoided at numerous different times. First of all, while Carter is facing the fire and the people, like, "I have to save the people. No, put out the fire." Just say, "Put out the fire," because those will blow up.
Yeah, that's the thing that we'll find out later, is that there is an explosive, there's like a barrel of gasoline there, right?
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
I think we saw them, because I think, like, we saw them when Viper saw
them. I don't
know
if we saw entirely them, but we definitely saw, like, the barrel, like, because it's under, like, a blanket or something.
I mean, what else is a red barrel even for?
Oh, it's a blue barrel.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
I was watching From Russia With Love the other day for my other podcast, Spectre, and they have barrels of fuel that they, like, kick off a boat, and they're black and yellow. And I was like, "How do you know they'll blow up?" And they do, and I'm like, "That's impossible."
No, they have to be red. You
only
shoot
the
red
can
barrels.
Blow up. When did video games decide that red barrels were the explosive ones?
I don't know.
Should have done it sooner, because I was confused watching From Russia With Love, a movie from 1963.
Oh, there wasn't video games yet. That was the problem.
Oh, darn. You're right. There we go. So the captain doesn't, like, say anything, and I get it, because, like, Carter's mad. He's not going to listen anyway. So that's, like, again, like,
but I feel like he would if the captain was just like, "Hey, there was explosive barrels just behind the fire. It needed to be put out," or more than just the one kid would have gotten
hurt. I think
hurt.
He just needs Carter to cool off first before he tells him that. But he could have told, like, you're right, he could have been like, "Put out the fire, there's a barrel of gasoline." But, like, I think he wants him just to, like, listen to orders.
Yeah.
Also, like, I think there's a lot going on, and I don't dislike it, but again, a lot of times in, you know, if your problem in your story can be solved by two people talking, it's not a very good problem.
Right.
But, like, it makes sense.
And it's a little weird for Carter to be a hothead all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not too, like, it's believable, but it's also just, like, a little weird, because in the last two episodes, he was just, like, pretty laid back and level-headed, and now to see him just be, like, flying off the handle.
It's episode three. They're still trying to figure out what Carter is, like, what Carter's doing.
Props to them for trying to give him some personality.
Yeah, and I think, like, it tracks, like, because if you look at the first scene, like, he's, like, still, like, the same character. Like, he's still, like, a chill, like, laid back, but, like, kind of serious, but not, like, deadly serious kind of guy. But then, like, the captain told him he did bad, so now he's already in, like, that headspace. And then, like, a kid got hurt, so now he's, like, it's just, like, is a tipping point, you know? So, like, again,
I think a lot, and I've been ragging on the captain for not telling him, but also, I don't know if it's equally Carter's fault, but Carter is not asking why.
Yeah, that's...
Which might also be the captain's point.
It's like, if you don't want to learn, like, you're not gonna take it to heart, so,
right.
Like, I'm gonna have to let you figure it out in your own time. So we cut from there to the hospital, and Carter goes into the little boy's room, and he's, like, unconscious, he's got a big bandage on his head, and he's on a bed, and there's a beeping. Because he's got a heart monitor, et cetera, et cetera.
He's got some, like, scrapes on his face, and they're pretty believable.
Yeah.
They look like real scrapes.
Yeah, it's pretty good makeup job. Or kid was recently in a building collapse, and like, "You're it. You're hired." So Carter is, like, sad, and he's sorry, and he starts to tell him the story of when he was a kid, his house was on fire, and he doesn't know how it happened. It just all of a sudden was on fire. So I'm assuming he was a demon. Well, no, that's not true. They've been trapped for 5,000 years. Can't be a demon.
Right.
So... something happened. There's a fire. And a firefighter comes in and, like, saves him. He, like, collapses because he can't really breathe anymore because, like, he got trapped. And he's, like, the firefighter's getting him out of the room. And a beam falls down. And the fireman, like, puts himself under the beam.
Yeah.
So Carter can get out into the arms of another firefighter. And he, like, is on fire.
Yeah.
He's like, go, go. Crazy. And, like, his back is on fire.
It's insane.
And then Carter gets through. The other firefighter picks him up. And then, like, the first one, like, gets out from under the beam and, I guess, puts the flame out real quick. And that does something that you shouldn't do, which is take off your helmet and in a collapsing building. And then does something else you shouldn't do, which is take off your mask in a collapsing building that's on fire.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. But
that
as he's, like, getting out from the beam, there's some kind of rolling rack or something that rolls forward. And that's what bumps the door shut.
Yeah.
So it's, like, locking him in this room, and he has the beam in front of him, so, like, maybe he's just like, "I'm stuck in here, I might as well get my head out.
Here's what they're setting up. It's two things. It's you're setting up, like, you're supposed to believe this firefighter died saving Carter.
Yes.
Maybe. Right? Like, that's, like, kind of what they're implying.
That is definitely the implication
that
I got.
The other thing is that he takes off his mask is so later in the season when they reveal who it is, like, you can get the whole thing. I'm like, oh, it's him. It's 100% the captain, right?
Oh, it has to be.
Has to be. Nobody tell us, but it has to be the captain.
If it's not the captain, then why have it be some big special reveal?
Exactly. Like, it just, like, because, like, his mask is, like, a covered in, like, silver. Like, you can't see through it.
He's got, like, aluminum foil lining his mask.
Like, to cover his face. And, like, it has to be. It 100% has to be the captain. But, again, nobody tell us. Let us find out for ourselves. Like, we come back from the flashback, and he's like, that guy saved my life, and, like, I couldn't save yours. I need to be better. I need to be like him. Like, he would have saved your life. And so he's like, all right. And he leaves, and he goes to the paintball course. And he's looking around the paintball course. He's looking at, like, all the aliens that he shot, and he's like, okay, yeah, I shot them all, I did good. And he, like, kind of trips over something and bumps, like, this canister, and the canister says flammable on the side.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's flammable. If I would have shot it, it would have blown up.
Well, he looks, because there's one that's down, like, leaning against the table or something. That's the one he bumped into.
Yeah.
But then next to the door where the swamp man popped up,
There's
like three more, and he looks, and he did shoot one.
Oh,
like, some
I
of his
that.
Paint is on one.
Okay, so yeah, you did bad.
Because I realized that during the first, when it first showed him, like, shooting, I was like, he's hitting, like, around the target a lot.
Okay.
Because there's, like, some on the door frame, and then, like, he finally hits the bad guy.
I didn't notice
but, yeah,
that.
He's shooting a little wild.
Gotta rein it in. You're not the cowboy on this team.
That's right.
Carter, that position is full.
Which I wish they would have played with that more, because for the rest of the episode, he's just, like, a good shot.
Well, maybe now he's taking his time.
Right.
So there's that. That's what I'm assuming.
Don't shoot unless you mean it.
Exactly. You got to use your head force before you pull your blaster. Then we cut to the parking garage again, wherever it is. Whatever this abandoned building that has, like, an immediately accessible dirt floor is just whatever that is. He goes there, and he, like, moves the blanket, and he sees the barrel of gasoline, and he's like, oh, it would have blown up. And then the captain's there.
He has, like, a vision of it blowing up with him and the civilians in there.
I like that, because it's like, if I would have saved them, then it would have blown up, and everyone would have gotten hurt.
Yeah,
and, like,
everyone would have died, Carter. Yeah. I know you can't say that, but, I mean, we saw the explosion that would have happened.
Yeah, the building would have, if the explosion didn't kill you, the building collapsing would have.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, and then Captain comes up behind him, and he's like, yeah, see? I guess I've been following you this whole time. being a leader is, like, is tough. Like, you got to make a lot of decisions, and sometimes, like, the best decision still doesn't work out all the way.
And he says, like, you learn a lot of lessons the hard way when you're the leader. Like,
yeah, which is very good. This is why I'm okay with it, with all, like, the secrets. It's because, like, I do genuinely like the captain just being like, you had to learn the lesson on your own, like,
right,
and here's some stuff about being a leader that you need to learn because you're the leader now,
and just, like, the way you learned it is gonna stick with you, like, you're never gonna not look around before you take a shot again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're gonna be like, is anything around here explosive? No. I mean, okay, I now mean, I can shoot.
I hope he doesn't. I hope they don't, like, just backtrack on that in 10 episodes, but I don't think they will. He's like, you know, there's, like, a communicator beep, and they're like, we need your help. We found Viper. And he's like, I don't think I'm cut out to be a ranger. And Captain's like, I do. And he's like, all right, I'm going then. And it's just this nice little moment between these two. And then he joins, we cut over to the other Power Rangers just getting their butts whipped by baddies and Viper. And they're just not doing very good. And they're all like, no, don't. She's got a spike down and a big sledgehammer. She's about to.
This is the final spike, I guess.
I guess. And you put
the
last one in.
Have they called them quake spikes yet?
No.
Okay.
We'll get the name Spike in a second. We don't get quake spikes until they've been destroyed. Spoilers for what's about to happen.
Yeah, they're just really missing the opportunity to call them quake stakes.
Well, yeah.
It's all right. That would just be, like, appealing to me anyway.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's better. It's different, though.
It rhymes, and I like that.
That is true. That seems like a more Power Rangers thing to do anyway, right?
Like, yeah.
Break stake. So she's about to pull, like, this big sledgehammer and, like, drop it down on the last spike.
Is this sledgehammer like her weapon, or is this just to drive the stakes?
I think it's just for stakes because she has like a sword. For
no, that's true. She does have a sword
for her thing.
She was shooting beams out of it earlier. Yeah.
So, but Carter shoots the hammer just right out of her hands,
yeah,
and then pulls the spike up and throws it and shoots it too. And they're like, "No!" And like, "We got to destroy the spikes." So then we get this little like fight of them like all like getting the spikes. And there's like a little keep away scene.
Yeah, Vipra tries to fight Carter, and then he says, "No, this isn't the time. We need to destroy the spikes."
Yeah.
So he has like learned the lesson in that we have to take care of the bigger problem.
Yeah.
And then we can move on from there. Or like the more, maybe not the more immediate, but the less obvious choice,
yeah,
which is what the captain says, is the obvious choice is not always the best choice.
Yeah. So at one point, Dana like grabs it with her feet and does a back handspring and throws it into a pile. And then everyone else like does like a keep away and toss them all into a pile and they take out their blaster and they shoot them. Dana rules.
She's awesome.
Dana's the best. As far as morph stuff goes, Dana's number one.
Yeah.
Like in a walk. So then we cut to the monster lair and Bumblebum Bumblebum is... has like a deck of cards.
Ghost of Yu-Gi-Oh's.
And he's like, ah, which one of my monster cards should I lay face down in defense mode? Except it won't be. It'll be face up in attack mode because that's how Yu-Gi-Oh works. There are modes and depending on how
they
are.
Oh, no wonder you like it.
I like it for a lot of reasons. There's a guy named Bandit Keith and he's an American. He's got an American flag bandana and a jean jacket. He's a jerk.
I believe it.
So he picks one. He's like, Jinxer, you do it. So why does Bumbleman have the cards if Jinxer has to do everything with the cards?
Because they're his.
Why is he the keeper of the cards?
Because they're his cards. He bought those packs. He earned them. But he doesn't
he
have the magic.
He stole them from Walmart, damn it.
He doesn't have the magic to bring them to life.
So he... he hands one and he's like, yes, this is a good card. And he throws it into this big fire.
Burn your Charizard. Shouldn't have handed that to Jinxer, buddy.
Jinxer, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Narbacular Drop. It's the precursor to Portal. It's what the people who made Portal made at DigiPen Studios, like their like game college. But the Portal is a big demon mouth that you walk through. This is a Narbacular Drop, like straight up. And they throw it in there. And that summons him to Earth. And then this is the most Power Rangers season one moment. Because then it's like, cut to Power Rangers fight monster. Like,
yeah,
we cut from there to like Bendelkirk and Jinxer just down there. And the monster's there. And they're like, make him grow. And Jinxer's like, you got it.
Did they make him grow? Or did they just turn 1,000 bats into the giant version of him?
I think they made him grow with bats. Because he did a whole spell that said, like, make him grow.
I don't remember. I remember seeing all the bats like fly.
I didn't see him at all before.
See him at all before that.
That's what I'm saying. It's very Power Rangers season one. We're like, who knows how to do this yet?
It's really weird because they destroyed the quake spikes, and then Vipra ran off, and Carter said, "I'm going after her." And the other Power Rangers were still fighting baddies.
Yep. Smash cut to a bunch of monster.
Vipra runs out, and Jinxer and Benedict see her come out and Carter chasing after her and they're like, perfect, make him grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the other Power Rangers are just there ready to go.
In the quarry.
Yeah.
Like they're not even near a building anymore. So, but it grows. They do their Zords. Zord fight is very different from the last episode because like last episode was like the diegetic, let's put it together in front of you way. This is the, here's what we're going to be seeing for the rest of the season way.
How does he say rescue?
Real rescue.
Rail rescue. Zord power time. Up. Or like, I don't know. There's a specific let's go rescue Zords call, but I can't remember.
Rah, rescue Zords. They make the Megazord. They don't do their individual things. That's done. We saw that once. We'll never see it again.
Oh, it was so cool.
It was so
good.
Once. So then there's this really cool shot where they're like fighting and it just pans all the way out. Like it just like, it's just a super long shot of like, here he is. Here they are fighting and here's the whole city. And look how big they are, but they're all the way over there. I don't know why they did it, but I like it.
I do like it that it's like, hey, the city's okay this time.
Yeah, they're not near it.
If they don't stop it, he's right here.
Right. I like that. They do this cool move. I got a Yagcha.
No, don't take a drink while you're on it.
They do this cool move where they like put their arm, Chad calls it, so that's neat. They put their arms in the ground and like lift up on them and just like start rotating backwards and do like a kick. They call it like a ladder arms kick.
He's like, ladder arms ready, and then it just goes up and
and he boots them. Then they do a little bit of arm punchy action for like 1 second. And then Carter calls the Lightspeed Saber.
Lightspeed Megazord Saber.
Sure. So they have... I will absolutely buy that in between last episode and this one, they did some reading, you know?
Yeah.
Miss Fairweather is like, hey, you got a sword. It's pretty great. You should use it.
Oh, man, she's not in this episode.
She wasn't.
What's that about?
Kind of bummed.
Lame.
Kind of bummed. She should have played her and Viper.
Yeah.
Just play them both. One has glasses, one doesn't. No one will be able to tell.
Yep. Put some weird contacts in when you're the sexy demon monster.
Yep. Hair's different one way. Because she can act.
Yeah.
So
she could say Power Rangers in a believable person way.
I bet.
Maybe that's the thing. She's not a person. She's a demon. So she doesn't speak like people.
She's been gone for 5,000 years. It's amazing she can even speak English. So then they ignite it, which is weird for a rescue zord. It makes a big fire.
Hey, fight fire with fire, right?
No, I guess you're right. And they kill it. You know how Power Rangers goes.
Yeah.
Then we cut.
Yeah, they do. They make like a big fire circle and then slash through it in like the don't smoke symbol.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. And then that just flies out and blows up the monster.
Yeah. And they win. We cut from there to Carter. He goes back to see the boy. He's got a present. Boy's gone. He's dead. He died from head injuries. Carter, you let him down. A boy's dead because of you. Just kidding. He's fine. He's right behind you.
He's out in the waiting room?
He's like waiting to leave. I guess he's getting discharged. I don't know. And Carter's like, hey, are you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. Thanks to you. And I want to grow up to be just like you. You know how that happens.
Right.
And then so he like lifts him up. He's like, here's your present. And he starts shaking it. And then Captain's there.
So strange that Captain just follows Carter around.
Is Captain a ghost haunting Carter? Did Captain die in that fire is now a ghost haunting Carter? And he had a kid before he died, but he never told Dana that he's a ghost.
But everyone else could see him.
Yeah, you can be a ghost and still get
seen.
That's
true. Ghost rules are different all over the place.
Sometimes you get sprayed by toxic foam and go to another dimension. There's no rules in Power Rangers.
That's true. I think he's a ghost. I'm going to go with he's a ghost.
I think Captain Mustache might be a ghost who's haunting Carter. We see Captain there. You know who we don't see? This kid's mom.
We never see this kid's mom. When Carter first visits him, he's unconscious in a hospital room.
Alone. His mom is just gone?
The Power Rangers whisked her child away, and she did not know where they went.
They didn't say which hospital.
And so, what is the mother to do?
But she's not there. Captain is. Carter is. He has this kid now. Like, Carter just, like, picked up a kid in a hospital, and they're like, cool. Hey, you're handsome. You seem trustworthy.
Well, everybody knows who the Power Rangers are,
too,
that's
true. They were shown, right? They did. Everyone literally knows.
Like, that little kid knows that's the Red Ranger.
Yeah. So, they do a high five, and that's where the episode ends. So, Josh, I started.
You did.
What's the best?
I really liked the training at the beginning. I just really like to see Power Rangers, like, running drills and, like, trying to get better at being Power Rangers.
Yeah, I like that, too. I think that might also be my best. Because I'm trying to think of something I liked more than that, and I can't.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that's my best as well. What's the worst?
Viper's acting.
It bad. It real bad.
Yep.
She no good. Who's the MVP?
I think as much as I was complaining about him during the episode, I think the MVP's the captain.
It's Ghost Captain, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta be. Number one, he's all that. He's a ghost. He died in a terrible passion.
That's true.
But yeah, I also think the captain, because like as kind of obtuse as he's being, he's not withholding information. He's just not freely giving it, because Carter hasn't asked for it.
He's not being asked for it. And he is giving orders.
Yeah.
Which Carter should be following.
Yeah. I like it.
It does all track, and I think it is pretty good. I've come around on it.
All right. Good. Yeah. I just like that he's like, you learned the lesson, and you will now remember it forever. Like, this is going to, you know, it's going to stick with you. The only thing we got to do left, rank this episode. So we only got two so far, and they are from 2 to 1, Lightspeed Teamwork, Operation Lightspeed. Where does Trial by Lightspeed land?
I think this is going to, for me, this is number 2.
Okay, like it better than last week's episode.
Yes.
Or last Friday's episode.
Only because there was more action in this episode. There was Viper's acting, which was very bad. But half of Lightspeed Teamwork was Zord sequences.
That's true.
And so it's hard for me to say that episode was better than this one. That episode has some rad stuff in it, though.
It does. There's all that stuff with the solo Zords.
Yeah, you're
right. It's really good, even though it did take them a long time to put them together.
And that whole, like, them holding up the building and punching through it,
yeah,
saving the people with the monster in the background. Oh, okay. Okay, this is number three.
I would put this at number three, yeah. I was gonna argue that it should go below it, but I was gonna let you work through it first, so I'm glad
I punched myself out.
Yeah. So far, it is trending down, but that's not bad, because they're all about the same amount of good.
Yeah, they're all good episodes.
Yeah. So, that's it for today. Any final thoughts on the episode?
Nope.
Me either. That's it for today. We will see you on Friday for...
Riding the Edge of Light Speed.
Anyway, that's it for today. I have to go lay down now. Actually, we have to go record another podcast right now. So we will see you on Friday for Riding the Edge. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Hold on. We got some crime. Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue's coming to rescue Lightspeedly. So what happens when I have to drink water? All my jokes are being diluted.
Dilute!
Hey, you. I can see you. Yeah, you better waddle away. Tubby fish. Get out of here. It's very cute, but very annoying.
I heard that.
I heard you.